Good morning, everybody. I'm presuming everyone can hear me. Let's just open up with a word of prayer first. Father God, give thanks today and that we can do EMP even online, Lord, and we just want to spend this morning with you together. And so, God, would you minister to us this morning? We recognize that to understand, to receive revelation is not achieved through our intelligence. It is really something that's received from you, Lord. So we ask you to help us to receive. Help us to understand what the intentions of the scripture are, and help us to also apply these truths, these instructions into our lives, Lord, so that we could understand you and also understand how we are to live, that this word would really touch us and transform us from the inside out, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So today we will be talking about about love and how love endures all things. And this is the last of, I guess, the love is the last of the four clauses. And so we're just going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start at verse 4 and finish at verse 7. Okay. So, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. Does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes in all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. So today we're going to just focus on the last one, as I said earlier, endures all things. And so this word endure, it's actually in the Greek, it is a compound word. It's combining the words for under and to remain, abide, or continue. So in the literal sense, this word endure means to remain under, right? It's to stay. So remember, the word endure is used in different contexts. But in this specific context, we're talking about love, right? We're talking about love. We're talking about relationship. And maybe a just more common usage of this word love endures is simply love doesn't give up. Love doesn't give up. And I think when we hear that phrase, love doesn't give up, hopefully it touches something. It inspires you. And I think almost every romantic comedy, it follows this very similar plot, right? Which is at some point in the movie, usually the boy is pursuing the girl, and the boy at some point in the movie, through their relationship, there's some sort of hardship, there's some sort of misunderstanding, something makes the relation difficult. And what do? They give up. And then, it's on this, that's the plot. He gives up, and then a few things happen, and it feels like it's too late to fix the relationship, but then they don't give up, right? They try again, and usually, it works out. at the end. And then it's very inspiring because they, so my all-time favorite romantic comedy, I know it's very dated. It's this movie called Notting Hill. So if you're born after the 80s, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm sure you can still relate because every romantic comedy is kind of the same, right? And in this case, same thing happens. In this case, Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts, Hugh Grant gives up. And then right at the very end, when Julia Roberts is about to fly, leave, I guess, Notting Hill, right? And leave back to the States. She's about to board a plane and he rushes to the airport as a last try, doesn't give up, and then he makes it and then he gets the girl. And every romantic movie, I think, is the exact same. And so there is something very inspiring about when love endures. Right, there's something very inspiring and touching when we see this. I would say we love this. We love being the recipient of this, but obviously, it's much harder to be the giver of this. Right, this love that endures, because we can see that while all the other loves that have been mentioned, patience, kindness, keeping every confidence, believe all things, hopes all things. We can do those things in seasons or moments, right? But to keep doing it forever, right? Or keep doing it ongoing to endure, that is the part that is, I think, next to impossible, right? At some point, we're patient a few times, and then we give into anger, right? We're kind, we're very careful with our words and considerate, and then we're hangry and we're very harsh and blunt. So we see this, and I really liked this definition that I found online. What does it mean to endure all things? Again, this is very specific to the context of relationship. Endure all things means that we are willing to remain in difficult situations for the sake of one another, rather than seeking our own ease through escape. I'll read it one more time. Endure all things means that we are willing to remain in difficult situations for the sake of one another, rather than seek our own ease through escape. I don't know if you caught that, but the key to all this is, why do we endure? What is the point? Is it simply, yes, God instructed us, but is that it, right? No, it's more than that. The key is we're doing this for the sake of one another. That is the motivation, sake of one another. And even as I was thinking of this definition, what resonated was the word loyalty, right? And I think all of us must appreciate, I guess, this characteristic of someone is when they're loyal, right? When you say you have a very loyal friend, and basically it means this, what it's talking about, which is, oh, they stick by you. Whether it be good times or difficult times, that they would stick with you. And I sometimes questioned, like, well, why is it so important to be loyal, right? It's something I value in relationship, but what about it is, like, I feel like sometimes we don't even know why we're loyal, right? It's just we know it's something important, right? But what is the motivation behind even loyalty? I think this definition really sticks to it. It's about remaining for the sake of one another. It's not about yourself. Why are we loyal? Why do we endure? It's not for your benefit. It's for other people's benefit. Again, it's about love. Oftentimes, giving up is the easy thing to do, right? giving up, blank slate, starting over, don't have to deal with all this junk. And sometimes, unfortunately, we experience this in our relationships. When the going gets tough, right? When you're going through hardship, you see who your friends are, right? Or I should say, you can see which of your friends you can really rely on. And some, when the going gets tough, they disappear. And when things are good again, they might reappear, right? And I'm not saying just as we're talking about enduring all things, right? Even if you have experienced that, you shouldn't give up on them, right? But maybe you can adjust your expectations and you recognize the status of the relationship, what it is, what it isn't, right? And so what that means is when our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are making life difficult for us, we don't look for a way out. Okay, so why is this so important? Why is this so important that we're talking about this love that is enduring? I think this is important so we can distinguish when we give up, and often we do, again, to not operate in this agape love that we're talking about is actually the normal, the fleshly, easy thing to do. I think it's important because then we can distinguish when we're giving up, we're not operating in this agape love, right? Let's call it what it is, which is you've given up. Now, I want to say, if you give up, you might have really good reasons. You might be completely justified. Even hypothetically, worst case scenario, right? Say, say your wife cheats, commits adultery with another man. And so you have, as the husband, you're completely probably justified. And you're so hurt and traumatized. Your trust is broken. And it is completely understandable why you would give up on the relationship. But let's call it what it is, which is, if you're going to give up on the other person because of this, you are not operating in that agape love. And the application for me is my relationship with my wife. I've been married 10 years and there have been so many times where I've wanted to give up on the relationship. Let me just clarify. I'm not talking about in this instance, like giving up is not simply like cutting it off. So I'm not talking about in this instance of say I was considering divorce. I've never considered that, but I've considered closing my heart, right? Where, you know, I just don't feel appreciated. I feel like certain things in the relationship are not reciprocated. And I'm ashamed to say, in those moments when I'm feeling like this, and what's going through my brain is, fine. If that's how it's going to be, then I'm giving up. I'm going to stop trying. I'm going to close my heart. And I think that's fair. And in those moments when I am feeling like this, and then I finally decide to pray and go before the Lord, I'm always challenged by this, which is this what marriage is about? It's about you, like when you're feeling unappreciated, when you're not basically getting what you want. Is that what marriage is about, that you just give up? And of course, it's not, right? It's about love. It's about enduring all things. And oftentimes, and then of course I repent, right? And then I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want? And usually he doesn't even ask much, right? He's like, He just says, "Will you talk?" Right? Basically, everything I experience with God, that's how I basically pastor people as well. It's like the same conversation, right? I talk to people, they're having conflict, they want to give up, and I ask them, "Oh, have you talked to the person about it yet?" They say no. I'm like, "Okay, do you think you can talk to them?" And most of the time, I'm very thankful to our members, and they say yes. Like, yes, I will go talk to them about it. And yeah, oftentimes I try to parallel, especially when we're talking about friendships, right? Or dating relationships, when people are having relational problems, I always kind of parallel it to family, right? And that's what we're really called to be. As Christians, we're called to be a church family where our faith blood, or I should say that Jesus's blood that has, that he bought us with, is actually thicker than our family blood. And I always say to people, you know, like, for instance, your parents, hopefully, like your parents who you, I'm sure, have experienced many difficulties and there are many misunderstandings, and maybe it's not even a misunderstanding, right? Where, you know, your parents are just very imperfect and the way you do relationship is perfect. But regardless, they're still your parents, right? You never disown, hopefully, you don't say you're no longer my parent. They're still your parent and you still do relationship. And I often use the example of my wife, of how I don't give up on her as well. And then sometimes people will say to me, "Oh, but P. Kenny, you don't understand. Or you can't do that," which is, you can't compare the relationship you have with your wife to my situation because I'm not married to this person. You know, we're just friends. And then I'm like, that's true, right? The relationship that I have with my wife is very different and very unique. And it is very different from all the other relationships I have. However, even though I use my wife as, I guess, oftentimes as the ultimate example, because that's my closest relationship. That's also my most challenging relationship. So I often use that as an example. It is not the ultimate relationship I look to, right? The ultimate relationship I look to is the relationship that I have with Jesus. In my tough times, as I shared, even in my difficult times with my wife, the relationship I look to is I look to my relationship that I have with Jesus and how he has loved me and the love that he has displayed to me, which is a love that is serving, sacrificial, considerate, a love that, you know, all everything listed that is hopeful in me, right? That believes in me, that endures and never gives up on me, right? So actually, the standard that I am ultimately comparing to is not my wife, but it is actually Jesus, which is a high, way higher standard than even the husband and wife relationship. So I want to invite our worship leader, I believe it's Wes, and as he leads us, let's just take time to reflect on our relationships. I mean, there's varying degrees of giving up. There's giving up in our relationships of, oh, I just want to cut it off. As a spouse, maybe you just want to divorce. Or maybe it's not so subtle. It's maybe you just want to close your heart. You want to protect your heart, right? Lower your expectations. Be less hopeful. And that goes the same with friendships, right? Maybe it's easier just to focus on other relationships, maybe, right? And I'm not saying, again, if maybe you have a really good reason, maybe you cannot endure anymore, right? But I think we just need to be honest with ourselves when we do that, right? And if you have, I guess, the faith in God, I mean, end of the day, to love someone and not give up, it's not something we can do in our own strength, because we have a limit of how much we can give. It comes from God. And so let's take a minute. Let's reflect on our relationships. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's who you're dating. Maybe it's our parents, right? Maybe there's ways that we've just kind of given up on the relationship, given up on that. But let's not, because there is hope. This enduring love, this agape love, comes from God. And God can help us to live this type of love out, which is just so inspiring, whether it's to experience or to see. This is so inspiring. So let's just go before the Lord.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant to the trial and the chain, 'cause one thing remains higher. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant to the trial and the chain, is what never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Separate my heart from your great love. In death, in light, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing there runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Yes, Lord. Just as your love never gives up on us, Lord. Lord, give us the strength and ability to also not give up in love in the relationships that we have, Lord. And Lord, that we are able to recognize this is not something we can will. This is not something that we can achieve because we think it is important, but this really needs to be an overflow, Lord, in our relationship with you. Only, Lord, if we are to remain and abide in your presence, Lord, can we then remain and abide with others, Lord, even in their imperfections, even even during difficult times. And I'll finish with this. This is from Charles Spurgeon, and he wrote, "If your brethren are angry without a cause, be sorry for them. But do not let them conquer you by driving you into a bad temper. Stand fast in love. Endure not some things, but all things. For Christ's sake, so you shall prove yourself to be a Christian indeed." Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to our prayer slides. Let's cover our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for strength, but especially during this season, especially encouragement. Let's pray they receive a lot of encouragement, that they would not give up. The people who are around them as well would not give up on them, would continue to love. Let's pray for our community, for those who are suffering from illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God to reveal himself, that the love of God would touch those who are listed, that there would be opportunities to share for a open heart, and of course, for God's healing. Let's also pray for our community, for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's full healing, full restoration, strengthening upon them. Let's also pray for our community, for those who have COVID. Please pray for P. Ernie and Shimmy and their family. Let's also pray for Simeon, Nicola, Solomon, and Josiah. Let's pray for their healing, for their lungs, for no residual effects. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers, for their protection, for their mental health as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for Sterling and Ian. Let's pray for God's provision, for God to lead them and lead them to a job that they can receive God's provision, but also purpose in what they do. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, Wealth Gap Revival, churches, sports services, international, Shanti, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, God Catering, Mother's Choice, HK Korean Church students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's pray for our city. you could pray for the staff as well. Pray for P. Sam, P. Nay, P. Salma, P. Kim, P. Samuel, P. Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Mon, Rachel N., Cadence, Caleb, Donald, Trish, Grace, Rachel C., Wesley, and Ben. If you could pray for us. Right now, we're all working from home so that we would just for precautionary measures. And pray for the unity of our staff. Pray for purpose and excellence, that we would just have a lot of, I guess, fun doing ministry and doing what we love. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministries. Pray for welcoming, barista, and logistics. Let's pray for direction. Let's pray for volunteers to serve in these ministries. Let's also pray for the right heart to serve, for everyone who's involved. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Tayon, Hina, and just other moms. Let's pray for protection over the baby, for a healthy development of the baby in the womb. Let's also pray for the mom, for strength, for peace, and also for the dad. There'd be a lot of peace that God is in control of things. And so let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for our Tuesday evening gatherings that will be online today. Let's pray for Helping Without Hurting, our discipleship course. Let's pray for God to lead the time, to use Tim, who is leading the class, to teach and guide everybody. And just for an amazing time where people will have just so much understanding and also instruction with how to serve our community. Father God, I just thank you for the word today in remembrance of your enduring love for us, and that we are to also reveal this love to others in our relationships as well, Lord. And so would you lead us that we would not give up, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the courage to not give up, to continue to put ourselves out there, to continue to endure. The only way that we are to really grow in our faith, to grow as Christians, is to overcome hardship. In some ways, it is exactly these difficult opportunities or difficult relationships, Lord, that you've given to us so that we can grow, Lord. So Lord, I just pray that we would change our perspective when things get tough, instead of seeing it as a situation that is hopeless, that we would see it as an opportunity and be so hopeful, Lord. I recognize that it is not just by our will, it is by your working in our situations, our circumstances, that we believe that there's always hope, and that there is always that something is happening. One of the truths is you are constantly working in our circumstances, Lord. I just pray that you would grace us with also grace us so that we can see that you are working, so that there would be encouragement for us as well to see that you are real and working in our circumstances as well. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Thanks for joining us online today. Have a great day.